wisdom to receive your words. We pray, Almighty God, that it would be the words of you and not merely the words of men. Father God, let us decrease that you might increase, and send your word forth to accomplish its purpose in the lives of your people. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, we are going to be talking about effective working out.
Who likes to work out? Anybody like to work out? Come on, exercise and lifting weights and working out.
I personally
hate it.
Hate to work out. I will play hockey. I will play basketball. I'll play any game. I will do until I fall down and pass out. But just to work out, oh Lord, God really has to get on me. So, if you,
I like it.
I'll just say that honestly. I don't like to work out. Never have.
Yeah, that's right.
Just the truth, Lizzie. Really cool. So, a few weeks ago, we talked about taking up your cross while clinging to the cross. Taking up your cross, not carrying someone else's cross. Taking up your cross and not trying to carry somebody else's. Because each person has grace sufficient to carry their cross, not everybody else's cross. Okay, so each person has sufficient grace to carry their cross, but not everybody else's. Amen. Thank you.
Have you ever tried to carry somebody else's cross? It's heavy. Makes you weary. You get frustrated, angry. Can't do it. When we try to carry someone else's cross, we never can. And the reason is because unless God has told you to come alongside and help them carry it, you don't have the grace necessary to do it. So you're trying to do it in the flesh, and you won't be able to do it. And the same is true of every man's salvation. To those of us that are saved, from the moment you got saved, we all have had a responsibility with our salvation to work it out and to learn how to walk it out. Turn in your Bibles today to Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 15. The scripture I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Whose salvation?
Mine.
Your own salvation. For it is God who works in who?
You.
You. Both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So many Christians get caught trying to carry someone else's cross and trying to work out someone else's salvation. The devil tries to get us busy working out somebody else's salvation because then we never have the time to work out our own, which is what we're going to be talking about today.
Look, people do this by a couple of different things, by the things that we do. Taking on other salvation or church experiences. So taking on somebody else's salvation, the burden for someone else's salvation, not as in a burden for them to find salvation, but I'm going to try to carry you to the cross. I'm going to try to bring you enough sermons. I'm going to try to drag you to enough Christian things. I'm going to try and myself work out your salvation. And other ways that this happens is sometimes we take on other people's church experiences. We hear this all the time. Well, I have a friend who went to a church that. Well, my mother went to a church, and what happened to them was, and you see people carrying these crosses that were other people's. My parents had a really horrible church experience. Okay. And your place in that? See, the enemy wants to get us distracted by pushing us away and creating offenses. Oh, no, no, no. I can't go to that church because my best friend, she had this thing happen to her there. I could never go there. See, we take on offenses. We take on other people's crosses, other circumstances. Something happens. For instance, Kimmy, a wonderful woman of God. Kimmy and Jason, we've known them for years. They love Jesus, and all of a sudden, she comes down with a sickness. And people are like, how could God do that to my friend? She's so faithful. We see this all the time, and we're carrying somebody else's cross. That's not my cross to bear. Why am I carrying Kim's cross? You know what my cross is in Kim's life? To encourage her, to love her, to support her, to be her friend. Not to try and fix it, argue with God, arm wrestle God for it. It's to be my cross is to love them. Those current life conditions that are going on, people lose a job, they lose finances, the friends pass away, lots of horrible things happen, and we take those on instead of allowing them to bear their cross, and we come alongside and fill our role. Because see, you can't work out your salvation while you're trying to work out somebody else's. You can't. It's just not a possibility. Paul says, work out your salvation. Your own salvation. Not somebody else's.
When you try to work out your salvation, and you see what's happening in somebody else's salvation journey. Seeing what's happening with Kimmy's salvation journey. I'm seeing what's happened with Ron and Ruth Bland. I see what happens with Paul and Brandy, or we look around at people and we see what's happening in their circumstances, their life conditions, and we try to work that out, sometimes even in our brain. And it gets very confusing. And we ask those questions we should never ask. Well, why is that happening to them? Well, they give faithfully all the time. How come they never have any money, and people that never give have all sorts of money? And that doesn't make sense to me. Well, they're good, honest people. Why did their family fall apart? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And what are we trying to do? Well, maybe if they did this, we, in our mind or in the flesh, we are trying to work out somebody else's salvation. And 9 times out of 10, when you talk to that person, they go, I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I'm really all right. But people would come alongside of me when we were working out our marriage, and they go, well, I just don't know how you did it. I don't know how you did it. I understand how you did it. How did I do it? By the grace of God. Because God gave me grace. People probably say that to Jordan. How do you do it, Jordan? And people get all worried, and they try to carry and work out her salvation. She's like, you know what? I'm good. God's grace is sufficient to get me through every day. Why? Because she's working out her salvation, but you cannot work out somebody else's salvation, or it will get very weighty. You'll get very angry. You'll get incredibly confused, and you'll get very fearful. I see people become so fearful in their own salvation, so hesitant in their own salvation experience, because they are so weighed down and confused by everybody else's. Sometimes God will give you grace to, he'll walk alongside somebody else in their salvation experience. Somebody's going through a really hard time, and God will say, I want you to walk alongside of him. He'll give you the grace to do that. He'll give you the grace to disciple somebody. God will give you the grace to encourage somebody. Now, you may not be able to walk out their salvation, but man, I can walk with you. I can help you. Sometimes God will even give you the grace to carry somebody for a portion of their journey. Never for their whole journey, but for a portion. Do you remember the story in the Bible where the friends came and they took the man that couldn't get to Jesus? He was too sick, and they carried him there. What were they doing? They were carrying him for a portion of his journey. And sometimes God will give you the grace to carry somebody for a portion of their journey. But you will never be able to work out someone else's salvation for their whole journey. It's not yours to work out.
See, and in doing that, carrying somebody else or walking along somebody else, you have to remember that the Lord will direct you in that.
Mm-hmm.
So many times we use our sympathies or guilty feelings with our friend, and I know I should do this, and I really feel like I'm not being called to this. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. I thought I was going to melt back here. And but we think in our sympathies, well, I just love that person, and so I'm sure I'm supposed to help them. Did you pray and ask the Lord, is that my place? Am I called, or am I just called to be a friend? See, this is where we get messed up, because we do things in our own humanity, in our flesh. And then we get messed up. Well, it's my brother. Certainly I'm supposed to take care of him. Not necessarily. Maybe God has somebody else there, but if you keep getting in the way, they'll never get to that other person. You've got to ask God what to do to lead you into that. So working out your own salvation means this, because we're talking about working out. Learning what you believe, first of all. Learning what you believe. The movie that we just watched, 7 Days in Utopia, a golf movie. Again, golf is kind of irrelevant in the scope of it, except for this. He says, why do you hold your club that way? He takes a shot and he's like, why do you hold your club that way?
I don't know.
Well, figure out why. And when you figure out why, write it down. I don't know why I do the things I do. How often have you found yourself not knowing why you do the things you do? Why do you go to church? I don't know. Just a place to be and nice people, I guess. If that's the reason, you probably need a better reason.
Then when everybody's not nice, you won't want to come to church anymore.
Well, yeah, you need a better reason because, again, I don't know. Because one day you'll go, well, I don't feel like going. Anybody ever not felt like going? By the way, I've not felt like going. But then everybody shows up and be like, oh, where is he? So makes it harder.
Well, what do you believe about?
Right, what do you believe?
Healing. What do you believe about heaven and hell? What do you believe about demons? What do you believe about deliverance? What do you believe about cults? What makes a church, a cult? What do you believe about these things? Are you just taking everybody else's beliefs, things, experiences, and trying to work out what you believe according to what's happened to everybody else in your life? Or do you really know what you believe? This is how you work out your salvation. I got to know what I believe if I'm going to work it out.
Well, and then you've got to work it out and walk it out. Okay, I believe in divine healing. How do I work that out and walk that out? Well, first of all, it's not up to me. It's up to him. So how do I do that? This is part of what we're talking about. So he says, with fear and trembling, work out your salvation. Now, most people get this thought of fear of trembling of God. It's not fear and trembling of God. He gave us the gift of salvation. That's the greatest gift he could. It's not a bad thing. It's not like, I'm giving you salvation, but I'm going to crush you. It's, you know, which is what I grew up thinking was God was a big angry God just waiting to smack me the minute I messed up. But what he said was, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because without working out my salvation, the fear and trembling is that I will go back.
That's right.
That's it. That's the fear and trembling. Look, I was on my way to hell, and I turned and found Christ, and I am heading that direction. Now, working that out means I must keep going that direction. I must keep stretching myself that direction. And the fear and trembling is, I don't want to be that man anymore.
People that forget who they were before Christ oftentimes find themselves slipping back to that person. They do. Because you forgot how bad it was before you had Jesus. You forgot how cold and dark and lonely and helpless and confusing and fearful it really was in that world where you spun in circles all of the time. And that's what he's saying here, is fear and trembling is the understanding that if I don't work out my salvation every day, I could be that man tomorrow. And I don't want to be that man. I don't want to live without Jesus. Amen? One of the things about people who work out, I'm one of those crazy people, I actually love to work out. Enjoyed it most of my life. Most people don't like it, but I actually do. But one of the things
she's
that people
like
200
who 200 sit-ups a day. I'm like, because.
But people who work out understand a few things about working out. Now, whether you like it or whether you don't like it is not the point. If you've ever been an athlete or trained for anything, you guys did a triathlon, right? Brian and Jamie did a triathlon at one time. There's certain things that make working out successful, and there are certain things that make it very unsuccessful. We are going to talk to you really quickly about what are some of the things you have to do, not only in the physical but also in the spiritual, to be successful at working something out. To have a successful workout, first of all, you've got to have a plan. You ever walked into a gym without a plan? You'll just look around and go, look at all the stuff. And you'll play with all the machines. And you'll walk out of there and you'll have been no better for it. Because you don't even really have a plan of what you want to do. You need to know, what do I want to do? What is my goal? Without a plan, there will be too many options and you will never even begin. And that is not only true in a physical workout. I tell you what, when I worked out, I had a plan. I knew what I was doing. When I trained for ski season, I would go and I would go to the track field around our school. And I would run all the way to the top of the bleachers and I'd ski down them, which means you just do this all the way down. And you run up and you go down. Why? Because my plan was to get ready for ski season. When I was getting ready for cross-country season, I had a different plan for my workout. If you're going to work out your salvation, you need to, and you say, you know what? I'm real flimsy in this area of healing. I don't really know what I believe. I need to get solid in this. I get really confused. Get a plan. Get a plan. Turn to Habakkuk 2 and look at what it says in verses 2 through 3. Woo! Look at all my treasures in my Bible. Isn't that fun? I got Valentine's in there. All right. Is it up there? Oh, here. Write down the revelation. Some scriptures say write down the vision. And make it plain on tablets so that the herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of an end and it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. If you're going to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, get a plan. Get a plan. Get a vision. Where do I want to get stronger?
If you're going to pursue a goal, then you've got to know what the plan is to get to that goal. Otherwise, what happens? You just wander aimlessly. I don't know where, I'm not really sure where I'm going. I don't have any plan to get there. You know what? You'll get exactly where you go. Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
You'll end up lost and empty.
We've had people call, some people call Jerry and they'll say, I need to get a really solid understanding of some of the different cults out there. I don't really know what I believe. I don't really know what's, talk to me. And they will just sit down. He'll just take some time and they'll go, okay, so this is what the Mormons believe and this is what the Jehovah's Witness believe and this is what these believe and this is what we believe. What were they looking for? They were looking to work out what they believe, to get some understanding, to get a plan. What was their plan? Find somebody that knows and sit down and talk with them.
Next, one of the things that you need for a good workout, sweat. I'm going to tell you, you know how you've done a good workout?
Sweat.
You sweat. And if you did one of those, look, you can tell who goes to a gym to work out and who goes to a gym looking for approval.
Or a date.
Just by what they're wearing. Right.
Some go to the gym looking for a date.
You know, when you see the $250 warm-up suit,
right. We're not going to sweat because we'd look bad and then we wouldn't get a date.
And the
see?
Hair's all done. And the makeup's on. Like, really? I know what you're here for. And that's not what I'm here for. So you need some sweat, you know? Look, of course, I was a wrestler, and so we had a 106-degree wrestling room. And let me tell you what.
Gross.
You sweat. The only thing that smells worse than a wrestling room is a hockey rink.
Yes.
Which was where I was today. And I stunk. Because we sweat when we work out. Now in a spiritual sense, this is the truth also. You can see the people who are bare bones, they're down in it, they're grinding to find some truth and to find some revelation. And I don't care what you think about me, I'm gonna read my Bible, I'm gonna go, I'm gonna listen, I'm gonna do everything I can to find it. And then you find the people who are like, I'm in church, got my big Bible. Look at me, I'm super Christian. And they're like, everybody does, do I have your approval? Do I have your accolades? Am I wonderful enough? Because what they're looking for is not to work out, they're looking to find that approval. Now see, you see this in churches all over the time. They're looking to look good, not work out. I mean, people who are working out, they're salvation with fear and trembling, they're like, would you like to go have ice cream? Right now, I'm in the middle of something. I got to work this out. Ice cream is not on my agenda. I'm about serious things right now. There's a time for fun and there's a time for serious. And so when we find that workout, you're going to, you know what? Sometimes a workout is painful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Andy and I ran up the stairs today after playing hockey for 2 hours. I said, oh, man. He said, yeah, I'm pretty sore. I said, I know, you're 22 sore. I'm almost 50 sore.
Let's see.
And it's going to be difficult, right?
Good workout.
Workout is difficult.
Difficult.
You see the guy? I'm gonna lift weights, just the bar. Woo, woo! Oh my! Well, that's good for me. I have worked out. That's Jeff's workout. No.
Come on now, good workout's painful.
No, he has Lou go do it. Lou go work out for me. See, and sometimes, but here's what a good workout does, it stretches you. Now look, Andy and I are playing hockey today, and he's really good, and I haven't even been on my skates in a year. And I said, Andy, that really irritated me because you were just pussyfooting around. You were just playing easy on me, and I said, that's not helped me. I said, you need to put every bit in this. How can I get any better if you're going to sally around with me and treat me like an old guy? Well, that's exactly what he does. So I said, but you better, or I will knock you down. I will slash you. I do it all the time. I have no problem with that. So he just, you know, I mean, he made me look silly, but I didn't care because why? I was there for a purpose. I was there to work out to get my, here's the other thing. You got to get your heart rate up, right? How many churches have you walked into? And it's like, is there a pulse? Excuse me, I need to get my stethoscope out. You're not breathing. It's all right. I mean, you know, it's like, woo! And you walk out, and people walk in, and they walk out exactly the same, unchanged. There's nothing. There's no life in the heart. And we're called to guard our heart, for it's a wellspring of life.
A good workout, people will tell you, a good workout will get your heart rate up. And so one of the things you need to know about working out your salvation, there are going to be times, if you're working out your salvation and your heart rate does not increase, I question if you're really working out hard enough. You know what? There should be some passion in there. Sometimes when somebody's working out their salvation and they're really struggling, their heart might be high enough that they're a little stressy to be around. They're a little ouchy to be around. But you know what? If they're working out their salvation, it's okay. If you've ever gone into a gym and somebody's lifting and they're really, and you want to come up and talk to them, they're like, go away. I don't want to talk to you right now. I'm going to drop this on me, right? So it's going to get some people's heart rate up. You need to understand that.
You ever met that person who wants to talk when you're on the treadmill?
Right. It's like, really? Now you want to talk to me?
I'm
you never
to
want to talk to me.
I'm just trying to breathe. I want to talk to you.
Really?
I'm like, shut up. That's what Walkmen are for, or iPods. Stick them in your ear. Don't annoy me, because I'm trying to breathe. So Hebrews, the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 through 8. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, what we talked about earlier, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Amen?
Amen.
In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood.
There's sweat.
Do you remember when Jesus went in the garden and he prayed with such fervency, it said he sweat great drops of blood? Do you know that's actually physically, medically possible to be under such pressure and stress that you can sweat blood? Now, this, he said, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And you have forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons, for what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. And so sometimes we try to make excuse for people when they're being rebuked, when they're being chastised. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not always the right thing. You're trying to make it easier for them, and God's going, no, I got them exactly where I want them. I am rebuking them to change their direction. And people are like, oh, let me help you. Because we stop and don't ask God. God is working something out in them. They are sweating, maybe even to the point of blood. Sometimes that has to happen. That's why we need to stop and ask, Lord, am I called to be in the midst of this? Or are you rebuking your child? Are you chastising your child? How many of you would like, when you're in the middle of punishing your children, for your neighbor or your friend to come in and go, oh, don't do that. No. I'm going to take care of it. Come with me. Let me give you some candy. I'm going to give you some candy. You'd be like, oh, no. See, God does this. He's like, stop. Zip your lips and leave, because I'm doing something here.
Come on.
The next thing a good workout requires is discipline. Just like it says right here, it requires discipline. It's going to require you to do it more than once. Probably more than 10 minutes a month.
Did you work out just once for that triathlon, Brian? Just once?
Oh, no. A lot of discipline. Sometimes it takes a lot of discipline just to get to church every time the doors are open. Just to get to church once a week. It takes discipline. It takes doing it again and again and again and again and again and doing it when I want to and doing it when I don't want to. It takes mental discipline to do anything consistently, especially when you know what the cost is. When people first start working out, it's kind of cute because they go and they have all these great dreams and I'm going to do 250 sit-ups and I'm going to do all these pull-ups, I'm going to do all this. And they start and then the next day they can't move. And so then what they do is they quit. And they go, never mind. And it takes a lot of discipline to get back in there again and again and again. My sister had a horse, and because I was the older sister, then I got aligned with the horse training, riding, whole shebang. And I will never forget the first day I got on this horse that threw everybody in the family off, and my family decided I got to be the one to break the horse. I have no idea why. So I rode this horse for hours. I finally got it to break, and it was fine, and it was good, and I rode it around, and I walked like this to school, and I swore I'd never get on that horse again. And my grandfather made me get up there the next day, and the next day, and the next day, and I swore I'd walk like a guy the rest of my life.
Is that a diss? I don't know John Wayne.
On guys, it's kind of sexy. On girls, it's kind of like, well, you've been riding horses and you haven't done it in a while.
But see, I mean, isn't that the truth? It requires that discipline to do it. Because, look, anybody can work out the first day. I ask you people to do this all the time. I found Jesus. I'm going all up. I'm going to read the whole Bible tomorrow. And then they end up and they go like, I haven't been to church in like 3 months. Really? Why? I don't know. I got tired, busy, stuff.
It's hard.
Isn't that how it goes when you want to work out? And you go work out. I know wrestling. The first time you go to wrestling, and my wrestling coach was just, it was a terror, and he would make you hurt so bad. And then the next day would come, and he'd be like, oh, he's going to take it easy on us. We're going to go twice as hard today because I know you're tired. And when I break you down, see, when you get broken down, then you can actually be built up. Isn't that the truth? When you get broken down in discipline, then you can build up your discipline, and it's not that big a deal. Next, focus. Focus. Don't get distracted by what others are doing or not doing. You ever been to a gym and you watch people, and they're all like...
Wonder what they're doing. Wonder how fast they're running.
They're not.
How many miles an hour are they going?
You know, and what they're so distracted by everyone and everything, they're not actually accomplishing anything. They're the ones standing by the water cooler going, I wish I could run like that.
Look at that sweatsuit.
Thank you. Exactly. Because it's in it. Look, in a gym or in a church, it's easy to get caught watching other people. In a gym or in a church, because I hear this, I just can't focus. I saw this person right in front of me. I was all focused on their hair because it was so cute. Just the silliest things. I'm so distracted. They were ruffling the pages on their Bible. Ooh, we can't do that. But see, we get watching other people. Here's one of those big things that happens, praise and worship. People are like, hallelujah, is that person clapping? My Lord, look, they're dancing. I remember the first charismatic church we went to. Oh, my Lord, there was this woman. Now, I came out of a Catholic background. I'm just going to say it. My grandma would smack me if I even turned around. And so I was very rigid about church. And so I'm like, I'm the guy. I'm going, hallelujah. And this lady's in the back going.
She's got her ribbons, and she's dancing through the front. And I thought Jerry was going to throw up.
I'm like, oh, God, Beth, where have we gone to?
I'm
scared. I was like, I think I'm going to be hanging from the chandelier soon. I have come into the loony bin. And later I realized, you know what? I don't care what she's doing. Honestly, I don't care if she's dancing with ribbons or flags or rolling on the ground. It doesn't matter to me because, you see, when I came for Jesus. And I don't care about the person who was like I used to be. Hallelujah. My hand's gone. I remember the first time the Holy Ghost got a hold of me. Oh, Lord, it's going up. Oh, Lord. I'm sure fire's going to come down from heaven or something. I don't know what's going to happen. Right? And like, see, but I got to the point where I don't care.
Amen.
I don't care. I don't care if you, I see people doing this. I honestly don't care. You don't want to get anything? Doesn't matter to me because I'm not watching you. That's like the person in the gym who is standing there by the weights. Can I use that machine? No, I'm on it. Okay, but I don't care. I'll find another one. I came for my workout, for my spiritual workout, and I'm going to get focused because when I get focused on other people, I might get jealous. Sure wish I had abs like that. Or I sure would. I serve as much as they do, and God's blessing them, He's not blessing me.
Mm-hmm.
God must hate me. Right? Can we get jealous?
Mm-hmm. When you're focused on others instead of walking out your own salvation, you can get jealous. When you focus on other people instead of working out your own salvation, you can get hopeless. Just like you go into a gym and you watch that little person who can run that treadmill for an hour and you think, I can't do that. Or you watch somebody in church and you're like, there's no way I could ever do that. I can't have that kind of faith. I can't have that kind of knowledge in God. There's just no, I just can't. I'll never be like that. And you get hopeless when you're watching somebody else's salvation instead of working out your own.
Or you can get fearful. Well, I mean, I want that healing, but gosh, they prayed every day. Oh, so hard. I don't know if I want one. I mean, that's a lot of work, right? And see, we get like that, you know, here comes Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, Mr. Universe, and you're like, all you got to do is work out 7 hours a day for, 10 years. Ooh. Yeah, I'm going to go get an iced tea. Start working my arm out here. Because that's pretty much what I'm going to get. And so that fear can come in. Oh, if I have to do that, oh, that's not even worth it. You mean I have to get up? I have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every morning?
Yep. Which is the other one, when you're watching somebody else's, walk out their salvation instead of working out yours, you can get really judgmental. You can get really, really judgmental. Maybe they do need to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, but maybe God isn't going to have you get up at 4 in the morning, but you're not even willing to start because you're judging what they're doing. Well, I wouldn't do that. Well, I don't believe that's right. And the next thing you know, you're judging everybody else's walk instead of just walking out your own.
Instead of asking God what to do, we begin to look at others, and what can happen is we take on things that may be for them. Maybe for Matt, Matt needed to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and get on his face before God. But if I just think, well, I want what Matt has, then I'm going to have to focus. I'm going to have to get up at 4 o'clock. See, what happens then is I'm trying to do something for someone else. I'm trying to bear Matt's cross to get his reward, and that's not fruitful. And if I do that, it might destroy me. If I'm doing something that somebody else... I watched this guy. He bench pressed 600 pounds. Oh. I'm going to do that. Watch. And the next thing you know, I'm dead. Why? Because I tried to do what somebody else was called to do. It wasn't for me. I wasn't supposed to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning and go to, you know, I've heard pastors, you got to get up and read 5 hours a day. And you know, well, okay. I'm going to say that's not a bad thing. But what are you called to do for your workout? You know what? I skated for 2 hours today. I guarantee you tomorrow morning when I wake up, I am going to be really sad. I'm going to get up out of bed. I know I'm going to be like, yeah, that was a good workout. Oh, yeah.
Until the dogs bark and you got to go downstairs.
Oh,
and he'll be like.
Man, that's the worst. 13 stairs. Oh, yeah. Oh, this is what I do.
Bethy, get the dogs.
I'm like. Well, you get down that first step, and I go, oh, thigh. And then I stand at the bottom, and I'm like, baby, throw my clothes down. I ain't coming back up here again. Because, see, in that, in working out, but that's for me, this is what I needed to do. Now, for somebody else, it might kill them. I mean, Jeff, skate for 2 hours.
Set up the fire alarm.
I'm going to answer it with a 12 gauge. Yeah, I know it's not like it's going to be 7. I know.
Just for fun. Isaiah 50, verse 7. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. And I know I will not be put to shame. Whenever I know I need to focus, that scripture comes back to my mind. I need to set my face like flint. I need to be focused. And I need to stay on task. The next one, to be successful in workout, you must have a positive mental attitude. A positive mental attitude. Without this, working out only ever wears you out. And you quit. Just does. And not only does it wear you out, it wears anybody out that's working out anywhere with you or around you because you have such a negative attitude. You may be doing the right thing and you may be working out and you may be lifting your weights and running on that treadmill, but you are like, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, I hate this, sucks, I can't stand it, I can't stand it, I can't stand it. You're miserable and everybody around you is miserable also. You have got to have a right mental attitude to be successful. Anybody really worked out on a consistent basis, one of the first things you've got to get is a positive mental attitude if you're going to be successful. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Some translations say grumbling. I can't stand this. Can't believe I got to do this. How much longer am I going to have to roar? That you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. I love this translation where it says, in which you shine like stars. So that you shine like stars. I love that. When we're complaining all the time, we do not shine like stars for the world around us.
Last one. Hydration. Hydration. You gotta have hydration. It keeps you from passing out. Okay, so I'm an hour and 35 minutes into skating with my youngest son, who's way faster than I am, and I'm way older than he is. And I come from chasing him, I come around the goal, and I look up and I wipe the sweat out of my eyes, and look up and go, woo, everything's blue. Holy smoke, things are blue. That's not good. How many of you know when everything's blue, it's not good? We were not in a blue room, but things were blue. So I skated over to the bench, and I said, Andy, I'm going to sit down for a minute. He goes, Dad, drink some water. Ooh, good thought. I had about 2 pots of coffee, and then I went and skated. No water. No water, grasshopper. So I drank a whole thing of water. I felt much better. But I got to tell you, you got to hydrate, right?
Uh-huh.
Why? Because when you're working out your salvation, you're expending water. What is the water? The water of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that is coming through you. Without water, you get dizzy, weak, you get headaches, spiritually and physically. When you don't have that Holy Spirit, it just becomes work. You can lose vision and focus. Things can go blue.
Mm-hmm. Not really good.
You don't want to go there. So you've got to hydrate yourself. If you're going to be successful at your spiritual work, then you're going to have continual spiritual hydration. You're going to have to invite the rivers of living water that flow out of the belly of the believer. You're going to have that water. John 4:10 says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Amen. See, that's what we need. We've got to stay hydrated with the living water as we're working out our salvation.
With fear and trembling. Amen. So if you've gotten caught in that trap of trying to work out to somebody else's salvation experience, maybe currently, or maybe you're still trying to understand and work out somebody's salvation experience 10, 15 years ago, let it go. It's not yours to work out. If God needed you to understand somebody else's salvation experience, he will give you the mind of Christ and the grace of Christ to help you understand it. Otherwise, get busy working out your own salvation with fear and trembling, lest you end up backsliding into that man that you used to be. Get some focus. Get disciplined. Get a plan. Stay hydrated. Stay disciplined. Dress to sweat a lot.
Don't look at other people. Don't look at other people. Other people will be a distraction to you. Focus on the one whose hand puts the world in motion. Amen?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, Father, we just come before you and we ask you, Almighty God, that you would supernaturally impart to your people a hunger, a thirst, a desire as we pursue this year, Father, that you would give us a discipline and focus, that you would give us courage, Father, to sweat, Father, as we seek after you, that, Lord God, we would put our whole hearts into it. That we would have, Lord God, your supernatural Holy Spirit to empower us and to fill us and to hydrate us and to keep us moving and living in you. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Stand up on your feet as we close in worship together. And if you need prayer for anything tonight, then the altar is open to you. We love you very much and have a beautiful rest of your week.